The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and this is the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. Glad to have you on board, and thank you for your support. Well, whenever it came to selecting a formula and a format for this latest podcast, I went to the map and found the London Borough of Wandsworth, which has created two of the finest tournament water skiers in the world. Obviously, you know of Freddie Winter, who I say ad nauseum is from that blessed borough. But also, we've got Joel Poland, who comes from that same borough as well. I mean, two boroughs at about three square miles have produced two of the greatest skiers in the world today. So say hi to the good folks, gentlemen.
Howdy. How's it going?
Hello, everyone. I just actually would like to say that I'm Wandsworth born and bred, and Joel's a pretender. He moved there, so it's not quite the same.
Spicy. All right, then. So you're actually specifically from Clapham, right?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Clapham, but originally I'm from... I've forgotten the name of it now. I don't even know where I'm from.
He's from the moon. We all know that.
I'm a lost boy.
But when I first knew Joel, he lived in Knightsbridge.
And I just remember before that was in Crystal Palace, actually.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Moving all around.
Oh, you moved around a little bit. You're a bit of a nomad.
So you're slowly moving south. Crystal Palace down to... Where is Crystal Palace in the north or south?
Crystal Palace is south of the river. Way south. I mean, we're towards...
What do I know?
Towards Croydon.
Okay. Wow, yeah. Good old Croydon.
Okay. Love a bit of Croydon. Spent a bit of time in Balham and then moved to Clapham.
Balham. It's like Harlem. Balham. Anyway, everyone's really bored of talking about London areas.
All right. Yes, indeed. Let's go on to skiing, okay? Because, I mean, the season is almost done, save for about two or three events. I mean, starting off with the Malibu Open right here in Limonland. I understand this is one of the first times that that each of you have been here. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's my first time here. You've been here before, right?
I was here in 2015 for the Malibu Cup, so 7.5 years ago. That's quite a long time, actually.
Okay, so what do you reckon to the site there, Joel? First blush skiing on it?
Yeah, I've had a couple sets today, and it's feeling pretty good. You know, we've had a long drive on the way down, so I wouldn't say I've skied great, but I'm feeling pretty ready for a tournament tomorrow. There's definitely good potential here.
And Freddie here, confidence is running at an all-time high. He's won the Mastercraft Pro, which took place over at Lake Grew about a week or so ago. So how does that play into your preparations here, Freddie?
It's an interesting one. I mean, we've got three weekends in a row, Mastercraft, Malibu, and then Travers next week, the Grand Prix, and three different boats. So I certainly didn't get carried away in any celebrations. You know, as Joel well knows, you've got to, when you win, you've got to enjoy it, but then not sort of lose the plot and take your eye off the ball. So I've tried to very quickly kind of come back and think about this tournament, how I'm going to prepare. So hopefully some good stuff for a second weekend in a row.
Yes, indeed. Very, very important not to lose the plot going forwards. And I mean, Joel last week, I mean, didn't quite get up to the top of the rung in slalom, but I mean, you certainly had a better than average day of jumps. And one thing that kind of stood out for me, I believe you opted up, didn't you? You went in on 30 meters, and you opted straight up.
No, 35. You went.
Yeah, I went in 35 and opted up to 39.
Wow, that must have been a thrill to have made it through that second pass having opted up.
Honestly, at that point, it was just, I figured I wanted the headwind 39. It was probably going to be a little bit easier for me. My aim is just to run 39 at this point. I mean, I'm still pretty early in my slalom career. And I was trying to save energy for jump. I didn't want to do another pass and then have to wear myself down a little bit. So it was almost a bit of a tactical move, I guess.
Okay, we'll talk to that in a little bit. But I mean, Freddie, I mean that takes some serious nards to opt up through from 12 all the way through to 10.75, right?
To me, it's not even the opt up; it's the fact that you're doing 39 second pass. You know, we had to start at 35, and I was on the dock. I was right after Joel. He was first off. I was second off in the final, and I watched him. I'm like, well, yep, okay. Well, if there's one thing I know is that Joel's fearless. Also, he probably knew. I'd say, I don't want to be unfair on you, Joel, but probably you knew that your event that day was jump, and that, you know, you had a good chance in slalom if you really killed it. And I mean, you went for it, which was bloody well impressive.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, you got to run 39 at a pro event to do any kind of damage. If you don't run 39, so nothing's going to work for
so
you.
So in for the penny, in for the pound.
So yeah, I mean, take the headwind.
Or dollar, it's about the same, isn't it?
Yeah, it is around about. I think the pound has like dropped to, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty weak at the moment. But about the only thing that is a weak is these two guys by the side of me.
We were having very serious economical discussions on the way up on our 8-hour drive yesterday. We got into politics. We got into economics. We got into currency fluctuation, inflation. It was
a little bit of everything,
actually.
Really, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Some highfalutin, high octane conversation there. So, I mean, talking currency aside and everything like that. So, what new? I mean, what stuff that comes in from the United Kingdom do you gravitate towards so far as news is concerned? Obviously, the main thing that went on in the last week or so was a QE2's funeral and the investiture of Charles III. Does that at all interest you or anything, or is it just day to day with you guys?
I feel like Fred is definitely more interested in English politics than I am. I wasn't too big of a politic guy when I left England, and I'm still not too into politics, but I know Fred's a little more involved.
Yeah, I mean, I read the news every day. I have a subscription to the Times.
Times.
Of course,
yeah.
You do.
Well, they suckered me in. It was like it was you know, 99 cents a month for the first 6 months, and I think now it's 15, but I'm sort of stuck at $15. I'm stuck at checking the app five times a day. But yeah, I thought, I mean, personally, I had a lot of generous people get in touch with me, as I'm sure you guys both did, sort of saying, oh, I'm sorry about the Queen when she died. And I was like, well, it's very nice of you, but, you know, 96 years old, like, let's not cry about it too much. Let's
she's
be happy.
Had good innings.
She had a good innings, exactly, 96. And I'm probably more of an anti-monarchist now than I was, purely because as a result of the Queen's death, they cancelled football 2 weeks in a row, which was just a load of nonsense. I mean, like, she'd have wanted it to go on. I believe that she was really into sport, and I mean, I couldn't watch Man United lose twice. Maybe it was a mercy, honestly, but yeah, no, I'm not. I mean, the royal family, I mean, it's great. I don't particularly care much about it, but I think it's nice to have. It's a differentiator for the country, but I mean, I think that we shouldn't really spend too much time worrying about them.
What about you? What's your team?
You know, I do not watch football, but this guy bullied me enough when I was a kid, so I know that Manchester United is the flag I hold.
It worked. It worked. Excellent stuff. Our friend Nathan McGarry will be listening to that and going, oh, good job, Joel. Good job.
There you go. I'm a Hammers fan myself. I don't know what you have to say about that.
Rough season for you.
Yeah, it is.
Taking Man United's leftovers in managers with David Moyes.
Well, what can I say? I don't have anything by way of a response to that. So, all right then. So we're here at the Malibu Open. Obviously, you're looking to try and keep to close down the gap in points between yourself and Will Asher on the water ski pro tour. I don't know whether you could do that with this or other tournaments going forward, but I mean, it's been an exciting season, wouldn't you say, with all the results that are coming from Europe and a whole number of different formats of cropped up, haven't they?
Yeah, I think it's been an incredible season in a lot of ways. We've had one of the biggest in terms of slalom tournaments. I think there'll be 15 this year, but when all said and done, maybe even 16. But I think what's been the coolest thing this year is probably the standard seems to have just moved up a little bit. It's no longer, you know, you get around four and you're guaranteed a podium. We saw Dane the other day, ran 3.5 at 41 at the California Prime, and he came fourth. which is rough for him, but I mean, amazing for the sport. Will Ash has been on fire, incredible. Obviously, Nate's been doing well.
What about this guy?
Oh, I'm at the bottom of the pack. I'm still trying to find my way through and claw up.
At the same time, you know, you've got John Travers, again, unfortunately for him, at the California Prime, ran 3:41 and didn't make the final. You know, that's crazy. That just wouldn't have ever happened 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So you've got those. It's not just at the very top that it's very, very tight and getting bigger, but everyone's moving up. And Joel is one of those guys. Hit boy 3 at 10:25 last weekend. I think fairly you didn't get that boy, Joel. I don't know. It was initially called 3 or something.
I didn't give it to me either.
Okay. Well, that was good of you. Well done. But yeah, it's been a phenomenal year. Really excited for slalom skiing.
All right then. Now let's swing the attention towards overall skiing, because there's been a number of events that have taken place this summer as well that combine all three events, slalom, tricks and jump. So overall, it's getting a little bit of a revival as well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we've got this overall tour going on at the moment. There's been 3 stops. We've got 1 more at the end of the year, and it's kind of been all over the world, which has been pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the side of that overall tour I'm really enjoying is we're actually all pretty much the same group of people traveling around to each event, and we've become really good friends.
Bit like a circus, huh?
Yeah, like we're a traveling circus. We're all living together. It's actually a really good time.
Yeah, and I noticed that you have a certain camaraderie with the skier that finished 2nd overall in the last World Championship. So Dorian Llewellyn, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, me and Dorian are buddies. I mean, obviously you get on the dock, you snap in, it's competition, and you're against each other. But, you know, you're always rooting for each other in a sense. Like, he doesn't want to beat me if I ski bad. He wants me to ski well and then beat me at my best. And vice versa. So at that sense, we're both pushing each other, and I think it's really cool. Like, you don't often find that in sport where you can be friends with your biggest competitor.
Mm-hmm.
I think on that point, actually, one of my favorite moments of the year actually that I saw was last weekend when Joel and Dorian had just skied. I think they had a 2:25 and a 2:24, and then Freddie goes out and does 2:30 first jump, and Dorian turns around and shouts to Joel, "Hey Joel, we suck."
You know? Yeah, I heard that. I think that actually made it onto the audio for the webcast on that one. But yeah, I mean, I mean, there's a lot of revival in the sport in so many quarters. I mean, slalom's obviously going to be up there, but tricks as well is certainly getting a good shot in the arm. And overall, you know, I mean,
Well, look at tricks this weekend. I think that's probably one of the things I'm most excited about this weekend is they're doing a trick demonstration where they're going to show off this new invention of Donal Connolly, who has put together this instant trick scoring system, which to my mind is going to revolutionize the sport of trick skiing, and it's going to make it something that can really lead the sport. I was talking to Joel about it last night. Trick skiing is the event in the sport that can really, you know, it can be put on anywhere. But the format so far of, like, you know, waiting for 10 minutes for someone's score to come out and then waiting for half an hour for the trick sheet to be finalized,
exactly.
That's held it back. There's no tension. There's no reason to watch it. It's boring when you've got to wait until the whole thing's finished to know who's won, you know, and the whole thing's finished by 20 minutes. So this new innovation, I think, can really put trick skiing to the forefront of water skiing. And I think that's really exciting. And I think, you know, the way it's going to be handled by the webcast tomorrow, I'm going to be watching it really excitedly.
What do you say there, Joel? I mean, because you're going to be in the thick of it front and center.
You know, I think it's great for everyone who's not standing on the dock next and finding out the score of the guy that just went. That side of it is something we're trying to get used to, because we've had a couple of events this year with the overall tour where we have the instant score. And we've been getting the scores before we go out and trick, which for us trickers is something we've never had to deal with before.
But every other skier has.
Every other skier has,
like, it's,
yeah.
It's just catching up. It's like, hey.
Oh, 100%. Hey. I think it's brilliant for the sport. It's great to have it. But 100%, it threw me off guard on the first time, you know, I'm standing on the dock and they tell me the guy that just went out tricked more points than what I can trick. All right. See,
okay. Well,
did Joel Poland get intimidated?
Yeah, he
did
indeed.
I don't believe that.
Well, that's breaking news, wouldn't you say there?
let's get a headline in the Times.
Okay. your overly expensive Times subscription. Man, you made yourself sound pretentious there, didn't you?
Oh, I don't know. Good to keep up with things.
Well, I'm more of an ESPN guy myself, but there, never mind.
Well, Joel's the son, so at least we're above him.
it's kind of lost its luster a little bit over the last few years, I do have to say, but there you go. But anyway, enough about that. Let's continue on a little bit. We're heading towards the end of the season. Obviously, some of you are making plans as to what you're going to do after the last competition. I assume you'll be at the Miami Pro, won't you, Joel?
I can't make it to Miami. I'm going to be in Mexico.
And I understand you'll be there, right?
Wild horses couldn't pull me away, Tony.
All right then. Let's assume that we've gotten to that point of the season. What are you going to do afterwards? Obviously, Mexico is calling your name.
I've got a pretty fun off season. Honestly, I'm going here, there, and everywhere. I'm spending a bit of time in Bali. Might head to Canada for a little bit. A bit of time in Mexico, and I'll probably end up in Chile at some point.
He reads the times, and you end off vacationing to all these.
I make the times.
That's not. Yeah, that's very good, Joel. I'm going to get fat. That's been the first thing. I'm going to work on. I'm going to go and eat all the fast food and have a beer or two. And
well, you won't find any shortage of that in this part of the world.
No. Well, yeah. I'm gonna start enjoying myself. I would say I'd fairly professional through the summer and try and stay in shape and stuff, and I think that when that pressure of tournaments is off, I'm gonna relax a little bit and probably not look at a water ski for a few weeks.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, once you do get off back from vacation, a very long vacation for you and you fattening up for the other side, then the focus starts on the World Championships, which, as of this time, no one knows where it's going to be, and no one knows when it's going to be. So, how does that play into your planning around that tournament? I know there's a big long season and everything, and obviously there is a shift in focus for pro skiers towards the Water Ski Pro Tour, as it should be. But the World Championships is the World Championships. So, Freddie, let me allow you to answer that one first.
Until an event is announced, it might be that we don't even have one in 2023, right? It could be that if no place is announced, then we don't have one. So, to be honest with you, I'm going to start next season, and my big aim for the start of the first 6 months of next year is to win Moomba. I came second this year, and I've never done that well down there apart from that. So I've put my flights, I've put my accommodation already. I'm ready to go. So,
and you've got permission to actually go in, don't you?
Well, I mean, I'll get the visa. Like, as Joel and I both know, you don't go in without the correct visa, or you'll get turned away. But yeah, I think Worlds. You know what? I've just got to be a better water skier on the day of Worlds. When that is, I mean, I'm going to aim to be a better water skier at the start of next year. Yes, when we find out when it is and where it is. I mean, frankly, it's going to happen in the USA towards the second half of next year, right? I mean, that's what's almost certainly going to happen. So that's what I'm looking at right now. Unless maybe Spain picks it up, or I don't know.
Well, I spoke to Ricardo on the whole issue, and he's steering well clear of it. So you're probably right. It is going to be in the United States. Now, question is, where in the United States? Because there are a whole slew of facilities that could potentially hold it, and with the right marketing and stuff, they might be able to. What about you, Joel?
I wouldn't mind if it was back at Jack's. It went quite well for me last time.
I think it did. I think it went quite well for Joel, wouldn't you say?
Went unbelievably well, and I mean, I'd like to have another bite of the cherry. So, I mean, it's a phenomenal place. I wonder, it was the best Worlds that really ever happened in terms of the level of skiing, in terms of the webcasting, just the whole aura around it. There was no negativity like there had been at the previous Worlds where they were at inappropriate sites.
And of course, those dockside interviews and the jumping event were just completely out of this world.
Yeah, that was very stressful, actually. I took on the job and then kind of realized I don't really know what I'm doing here, and I'm about to enter, you know, these hyped up jumpers world, and I don't want to annoy them.
Oh, so it's a scary place, isn't it?
It was a little bit. It was a lot more low key last weekend at the Mastercraft Pro. I can tell you that much.
Indeed. So I mean, what was your response to the whole deal?
I'm not too worried about where the Worlds will be next year. I mean, wherever they end up, we'll have some kind of warning, and I'll be training, and I'll be ready to ski.
It's que sera sera, whatever will be.
If anything, it's like a little bit of motivation to be ready for any time at any place.
Indeed.
But what we can say for sure is it's not going to happen at 2 months' notice. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no way that's going to happen. So if they can't find somewhere, it'll happen in 2024, and there we go.
Okay. All right then. So, we're gonna start to put a bow on the end of this podcast. Are there any issues that either of you two want to bring up a little bit? You know, for the benefit of the listeners. I mean, put yourself in the listener's point of view and like think to yourself: I want Joel Poland and Freddie Wynn to say something, you know, to clarify some stuff that goes on, like left foot and right foot.
I was going to ask this exact same thing. My question to Joel was: do you think it's made you a better skier, or do you think you're just a weird person?
I'm definitely a weird person. It's made me a better skier. It's a little bit of both. I was about to get controversial there, though. I was thinking,
okay,
if there's one thing about tournament water skiing I'd love to change.
Go for it.
Some tents on the sideline. The sun is killing me.
Yeah,
be nice. Get roasted away.
Yeah.
Sorry, organisers, but like that's my one complaint. Everything else you seem to be nailing for me.
I'm sorry, but we're a few years away from having a dome stadium. You know what we're saying. but that would be impressive though if it ever happened. So, that little hint of controversy to one side. How did you know? When was the first instance that you realised? Hey, listen. I'm better off slaloming on left foot, or I'm better tricking on my right foot.
When he realised how much easier it is to ski as a left foot forward slalomer. Right, Joel?
I did not have a choice in being left or right foot. I used to switch feet pretty much every set at one point because I didn't know my lefts and rights. And eventually somebody said, you should be a lefty. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. And stuck with it for a while.
But wasn't the story that your dad bought a trick ski with the back boot pushed in the direction to make you right foot forward skier?
Well, so it's like, there you go. That's how I became the slalom skier of a left foot, and then trick I learned on the cable, right foot forward. And he never even thought about being left or right foot.
Where did you go cable? Prince's cable?
Thorpe
cable.
No, I started off at Prince's.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I started off at Prince's. Wow. I used to go around on that thing for hours, and I found a trick ski. I went right foot because it was easier.
It's easier to cut away from the center, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
heel side cut.
The first trick ski I ever went around on the cable was actually Callum Heath. He's here today. I bought that trick ski off him, and he's a righty.
There you go.
And
that's how I learned the reverse flip is on the cable, just cutting away. And I mean, it's just pretty agricultural, but it sort of works.
All right, then. And also, just to point out, I mean, this is a nice little quirk. Joel Poland actually has a tattoo on his right ankle just to remind himself that whenever he goes tricking, it's the tattoo foot forward, right?
That's not the exact meaning behind it, but I'm going to roll with that one.
No, the meaning is it's a pineapple because he's a pine in the arse.
Harf, harf, harf. Okay. What have you identified any physical quirks with Freddie skiing that you want to highlight?
To be fair, I've watched him ski a fair bit, and there's nothing that I would say he's doing wrong. It's just the fact that he pulls long and he won't ever admit it.
Yeah. I don't. No, I guess I do. I do. It's a failure. I mean, I do end up pulling long. The problem is my onside is strong. I mean, that's probably the best part of my skiing, so I can kind of get away with pulling long to some degree, but it doesn't help rhythm, and it kind of messes me up into the side.
And so that's the thing. I see it every now and then. You get into a bit of trouble, and you just pull a little too long. You come into the next boy too hot, and then you're down course. And that
Well, it's not that I'm down course because I feel like I'm able to turn in the right spot. It's just that I'm so loaded that it completely screws me into the offside, which is already not the strongest part of my skiing.
Yeah.
Okay, so going into the off-season, what things are you working on? Maybe not pulling quite as long, or just loading up a little better behind the boat?
I mean, I think actually, to be fair, I've watched myself back in a bunch of the tournaments. I don't think I'm pulling long in the, you know, normally. It's been better. But I think that, you know, the aim has got to be to stay more over my feet in 25, then shoot my feet out in front and then kind of roll on the inside. That's kind of what I'm working on. I think that's where I've had a bit more success this year of turning my offside more consistently is from a lot of work I did through the winter this year. So, that's the aim.
All right, then. And obviously, your off-season is complicated by the fact that you're not haven't got just one but three events to work with, and obviously the one that tends to get the most attention is tricks. So what's the new trick? What's the latest trick that Joel Poland is working on and is ready to release upon an unsuspecting world, either on YouTube or on TikTok?
That was the first question I asked him this morning. How funny is that?
Yep, I get that one a lot. I was trying some Mob 7s the other day. I've landed a few of those, but they're not.
Oh, you've landed it?
I've landed it once, but it wasn't very credit. I kind of slipped it, so I was trying to do a few of those. Took a few edges. next thing you know, I've got a jump tournament, so I had to back off of that.
I guess if any judge sees a Moab 7, their head's about to explode.
Yeah. And then I tried a few last year where I was doing it over the line. So backflip, Moab 7, over the rope.
Okay.
So that would be 993 points.
With the current trick judging, it'll probably be like 800.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll lose points for going over the line.
Yeah. start adding things in, they go backwards. You hit the ceiling.
Yeah, you hit it, now you're going back down. So yeah, I got that 7 over the line. At some point, I definitely want to revisit. Obviously, double backflip's always there. And
you,
I think...
How many of those have you tried?
Double backflip? Yeah. All in all, like 10.
And are you anywhere near... How close on the second rotation have you got?
It's not so much the second rotation. It's just I don't think I really nailed the takeoff for the first one.
Okay. So, like, so the that's ropes... another way of saying... Zero rotation on the second one.
No, like I get around to my head and like I'm spotting my landing, but I'm landing flat on my face. I'm not landing on my ski. But
no way, man. That's pretty cool.
It's getting there, but you got to change the boat speed. You got to change
slower?
The rope length. You know, you're a little faster.
Faster.
A little bit faster, and then I was putting my rope about 2 meters longer, so I had more time in the air to flip.
So then
I don't want to become wakeboarding and have to hit double ups and go on a high pole. Like, I want to do it in a trick ski sense. If I put a high pole on and I hit the hugest double up, I can land a double backflip.
All right, then.
But that's not trick skiing.
So, I mean, you're on your new model, the new Graviton model, the Joel Poland model. And
the LTD.
The LTD, of course. And, you know, I mean, that trick ski has been around for donkey's years now. I mean, in relative terms, you know. So, I mean, how much influence did you have in that ski's design, aside from the aesthetics?
I mean, I was definitely the guinea pig. Matt's the one designing the ski, so I've been skiing with Matt the last 10 years, so I was definitely the guinea pig in building that ski. Actual input, I had no idea what to do with a trick ski to make it better, so I'm just giving feedback, and he was kind of translating that.
But, I mean, I think that's very smart, isn't it, Joel? Like, I mean, you're doing so well, you're... whatever skis underneath you you're improving at,
yep.
I wouldn't bother with trying to figure that stuff out yet. No, I mean,
I don't need to worry about what the ski's doing. I mean, I'm surrounded by people who know what the ski's doing and can change it to do what I want. So
now, what about you with D3, Freddie? I mean, you're working a lot with the folks there in trying to improve the ski in which you ride. Isn't that correct, or are you taking a little bit of a hands off approach on that?
Yeah, I'm more sort of in Joel's lane, I guess. It's a similar kind of thing. Like Will Bush, who I really do trust to make fantastic slalom skis. I mean, I've been there, I think this is season number 4, and I've always loved the ski I've been on since being there. So he sends me a ski and he asks what I thought about it. I hope I'm a good communicator of what I feel, and I can kind of give him the feedback that he needs. But I'm not sort of saying, hey Will, the bevel's not working, or like the, you know, the flat spot needs to be... I don't understand that, and I don't necessarily want to understand it, because I know that I've got so much more to improve on my own skiing. I'm so far from a finished article that I don't want to start blaming my ski, which I think
it's a tricky way to go when you start looking at the ski and trying to fix that and not your issues.
Yeah, I mean, it can help. Like, I mean, if I could have something that masked my issues, that would be great too. I'd like that, but I think there'd be such a learning curve in getting to the point where I could sort of direct that. I think it would take my skiing down a level before it came back up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want that.
All right, then, before we end this podcast, and it has gone on for a little while, you know, I mean, I generally put these podcasts and cap them out at about 25, 30 minutes, you know, because, well, some people can't listen to a podcast that are more than an hour long. But I try and keep it concise, you know, robust and everything like that. So I'm going to ask you one more question, same question to both of you. Where do you see this sport in 5 years' time?
Me first? Okay. Where do I see it in 5 years' time? I mean, I think it's a big question, but what I can say is that if we continue along the same path as we have since 5 years ago, that would be huge. I mean, we've seen numbers come through the roof in terms of viewership. You know, obviously we're nowhere near where we need to be to attract big sponsors, but if we can continue, if the level of broadcast can be even 20% better than it is now, having improved by 100% in the last 5 years, that would be huge. we just need to find a way to get the product out. The product's great, in my opinion. We've got great tournaments. We've got a great... we've got Wade on the dock. There's you guys commentating, and there's great skiing happening in front of it in three different events. I do think that in 5 years' time, Trick Skiing's going to be a lot bigger than it is now. I really do. And I think that with the way that Donal's put this together, I was talking to him about this morning, I think that this is the beginning of something quite huge. And we've got to... I say we, everyone involved in the sport's got to put it together to where we can put trick skiing in front of people, and that will help the sport overall.
What say you, Joel?
I think it would be cruel to put a cap on where I think we could get to in the next 5 years, but what I can see is having a unified tour. I mean, we have that started already, and I can only see that really going uphill from here with Pro Water Ski Tour and having the webcast. The way I picture skiing in the next 5 years is that each event will follow through to the next, and that we will have a continuous tour rolling year on end where there's value to that. And that's building already. That's already started. I only really see that growing larger. And I don't know where that will get to in the next 5 years, but I know it's going to get better.
All right, then. So we'll put a cap on this. This has been the TWBC podcast, the Wandsworth special, as it were, and I'm going to give the mic to each of you guys to say your thanks and acknowledgements to those that have supported you up to this time.
I'd like to thank Joel for really giving me a somewhat of an idol below me to, you know, to not how not to act, you know, like to act in a better way. No, I'm kidding. No, well, everyone knows who they are. Lots of people. I hope I tell everyone who I am grateful to that I am grateful to them, and thank you to all of you people.
I want to thank you, Tony.
That's a good one.
I do want to thank you because I feel like you've been doing this job for quite a while now, and I really think someone needs to interview you at some point soon.
Well, maybe that might...
Wait for the TWBC World Championships documentary that comes out. There is an extraordinary Tony Lightfoot interview. Extraordinary.
Perfect.
Well,
I want to thank you, Tony. Thank you very much for everything you're doing for our sport and being the voice behind it.
Wow, shucks, indeed. Thank you very much, guys. And that was Joel Poland and Freddie Winter in this, the Wandsworth special of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.